One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
An Erio's original.
I'm Leslie Arfin, and this is my show, Filling the Void, a show where I get to know my friends better by talking to them about the things that bring them pure joy, also known as their hobbies. Hi, welcome back to Filling the Void. Today we have Danielle Henderson, TV writer. She wrote on Maniac, Difficult People. She also is an author. Her book is called The Ugly Cry. And today, Danielle is gracing us all to talk about archery. Fuck. There's nothing cooler than having your hobby be archer motherfucking re. And another thing that's just a fun fact is that I forgot to record on my end this episode. It was just such a good conversation. And then Alex was like, all right, so let's stop recording now. And I was like, there is no way that I can make this sentence untrue. I didn't record. I did not record. I had to quickly go into acceptance. You know, this shit happens. And you know what else happens? Miracles happen. Because the next day, Alex said, via text, OMG, for some reason, when Danielle recorded her end, she also got yours. So I'm just going to give a shout out to God for this episode, higher power, greater intelligence, life force, universe, whatever you want to call it. Thank you. Now, we're talking today to Danielle Henderson. Danielle, you're a writer, yes?
Yes, I am.
But you're also a hobbyist.
A big hobbyist.
See, this is why we need to talk.
For
help
sure.
Me. Can you help me, or do we both need help?
I think we both need help, but I think both of us have indoor kid hobbies.
Yes.
And so I feel like that has been very time-consuming in my life, and my new hobby is a very outdoor-based hobby. And it actually is helping me balance out the other stuff.
Okay, what is it?
I'm an archer.
Oh, yeah. Well, that is for... I thought you were going to say archery, but I didn't know if you were presenting it like you had another outdoor thing.
No.
I know you're an archer. That is the number one thing I wanted to talk to you about because yeah. I love archery. You moved to upstate New York. So you lived in L.A.
Yes. I've lived so many places, but I lived in L.A. for about... 4, almost 5 years. And then 2 years ago, I moved back to my hometown in upstate New York. And I bought a house, but it's not just a house. Like I actually bought a small farm. And it has like, you know, I've got acres and I have a barn and I have a silo and I just got like space and the house is big. And so I just have space and it's just me right now.
Are you scared? Are you ever scared?
No, but I think it's because I grew up here. So I'm kind of familiar with the tenor of people that are around. But I also have like,
ghosts?
This place is 100% haunted. There are bones in every wall. I guarantee there are like human bones in every fucking wall.
But like that's, we're okay with that maybe.
Yeah.
Just sage it up.
Exactly. And they're friendly. Yeah. If they're here, they're friendly. I've got a lot of like hippie woo-woo kind of friends and one of them walked in and was like, I'm feeling something. And I'm like, keep it to yourself unless it's bad. like run with that emotion. But if it's bad, then you can tell me.
Right.
But yeah, it's kind of, it's very solitary. And the reason I came here is because, or came back here, is because my grandma has dementia and she's 90 and she was very quickly getting to a point where she couldn't live on her own. And that was exacerbated during the beginning of the pandemic. And I was, you know, I was ready to get out of LA. And so I thought, well, why not? You know, I never envisioned coming back to this town. I do not recommend moving back to your hometown the same week you release a memoir about how much you hated growing up in that hometown.
What's your memoir called?
It's called The Ugly Cry, and it's about how my mom essentially ditched my brother and I when I was 10 with my grandparents, and then I was raised by these really funny, weird, mean elderly people in this small town that's filled to the brim with white people, and I'm black, and I was weird, and like it's just about growing up a little bit strange.
You know, I added this to my wish list like months ago when you told me about it, or when I heard about it. I'm going to read this book. I'm going to like
buy
the actual book because is it on Audible?
Yeah. And I read it. Yeah.
Okay. So that's also tempting because I want to listen to you talk about all of this stuff.
Totally. Like,
Danielle just has stories. It's sad that you don't live in LA because we can't hang out. But like when you told me you were into archery, I was like, ah. Finally, but also then you were like, but I'm moving.
Right.
Because like, I wish I could move to upstate New York. I really do. I love it there.
It is so beautiful. And it's a choice. I mean, I still don't know how it's going to have a reckoning with my career. But for now I'm fine with it. And it's a nice place to have peace and calm. And, you know, like I'm 45 years old now and I never wanted to have kids and I'm divorced and I've been single for 10 years and I just kind of want like quiet and peace and I want to do my own thing.
That sounds so nice.
Yeah. So I've kind of just aged out. I love going to the city, but I don't live that far from New York City, but I just don't need to live in that mix anymore because everything I like to do is a very quiet, solitary hobby.
Totally. I know. There's nothing better than quiet.
Yeah. It's kind of nice.
There's nothing. It's everything. So writing wise, can you zoom in to rooms?
Yeah. Well, usually the last couple of jobs I've had, I've actually been running rooms. So if I'm running a room, then I'll just say we're remote. Like that's just a given.
Right.
And if it's a job that requires me to come to LA, I haven't been doing that right now. I could, but I haven't been doing that right now. It's at this point, like leaving a house is so much more difficult than leaving an apartment. Like I have a cat sitter and a house sitter when I travel. And I'm always like, you know, if there's a squirrel in the attic, you have to do this. And if you hear this and watch out for the, you know, like, there's just like electrical stuff and yard stuff.
There's
so much.
I mean, it's an estate. Like it's a farm. You own a farm.
I'm a steward of the land.
You are. That's the word I was looking for. Like, yes, you have a manor and you need it cared for. And
it's hard. People usually cringe when I say this, but my mortgage is a third of what I paid for a one bedroom apartment in Los Angeles. And I have a 6-bedroom, 5-bathroom house.
Fucking A.
So I can live very cheaply here for a very long time. So it kind of removes the stress of having to work on things that don't matter to me because I'm like, well, I can live just here for a year.
It's also like just you and your cat.
Exactly.
And like, you don't need to be buying, you don't need to be going to Costco for like bulk items.
No, I go to the farmer's market all the time and like, you know, I still care for my grandma, but you know, she moved in and she hated it. She's like, this is too far out. Like, I can't see anybody. I hate that. And I'm like, all right. So she wanted to go into a home. And I'm like, we had this conversation when she was lucid a few years ago. So that was a no-brainer, but she lives right down the road. So I see her all the time.
That's sweet.
And
if it was just me, no husband, no dog, my dog is like another person because she's really big, but me, no kid, no husband, no dog. I think I could eat like a potato a day and be fine.
That's kind of how it is. It's like a can of chickpeas will last me for a century.
Totally. Did you own a place in LA or rented it?
I rented. This is the first thing I've ever owned in my life. And I went so big, and I'm genuinely never buying anything again. Like, there's something about being here as well with the outdoor space that I think kind of helped push my archery along because
Okay, so thank you for pulling me back into it. When did you start doing archery? When did you first begin?
I first picked up a bow about 4.5 years ago, 5 years ago. And it's really strange because I was recording a podcast, a travel podcast with a friend of mine. And we were in Montana. We were in Bozeman, Montana. Uh-huh. And he had kind of set up all this stuff. So like we were going to go fly fishing and we were going to do, you know, all this stuff. And I lived in Alaska for 4 years. So like outdoorsy stuff is fine to me. I just don't seek it out myself very often anymore. Mm-hmm. But we went fly fishing and, you know, I caught a fish and he was pissed off because he didn't. And I'm like, I know how to do this though. Like I used to catch fish all the time. I worked at a fishery. I used to catch my weight in salmon every year.
Wow.
So then he's like, well, why don't you go do this next thing on your own? And he set it up so that we were originally both going to go to this archery range. But I went by myself and ooh, I'd never been. And I was so from the beginning, just so enchanted. Like they have to measure you and do your mm-hmm. arm span and like really fit the bow to your dimensions. Mm-hmm. And the first time I shot it, I bullseyed. And the guys there, like, they were all gathered around and they treated me like some kind of circus freak. And they're like, do it again. And they had all these 3D models of like T-Rexes and bison and shit. And I just kept hitting targets and like doing well.
Danielle, the first time.
First time. You had. First
okay,
time.
this is your calling.
Nothing felt more bizarre to me because I am someone who, I have a very strong disconnect between my brain and my body, and mm-hmm. to the point where it's like I have to actively work on the connection between the two. Mm-hmm. And I really don't consider myself a sporty person or an outdoorsy person at all.
Same.
Like never have. And none of my hobbies are like, let's go for a walk or let's go play basketball. Never.
No, so, like people are like, let's go for a walk. I'm like, how about a sit?
Yeah. How about we sit and have some coffee? What the fuck?
Right. Let's sit on a chair. Why? Because sitting is better than walking. Like, why would you want to walk when you can sit?
It's better for my heart. That's for sure. Yeah. For my emotional life.
Yeah. It's hard to drink coffee whilst walking up a rocky, hot canyon. Like, I'm good.
I have so many friends that used to try to get me to like go to the beach or go on a hike when I lived in LA. And I'm like, this is how I know I'm not meant to be here because none of this is appealing to me at all.
Preach.
But I definitely, like none of it. But I 100%, like from the minute I picked up a bow, I felt like, well, this is different. And it's not the same as like a really sweaty, active sport. It's right. kind of zen, and you kind of still have to use your brain, which is something I love.
And you have to use your whole body, don't realize.
Your whole body. And that's the thing. Like when they kind of taught me, like, you know, how to have a good stance and how to, you know, hold. The first time I used a compound bow, I had a trigger release. And, you know, they just kind of show you the mechanisms and how to use it. And then I realized, like, oh, my legs and my back and my shoulders mm-hmm. were like, I felt it everywhere, but not in a bad way.
Yep.
But
right.
I felt the strength of it everywhere.
Yes.
And that was really appealing.
The strength.
Yeah.
Isn't it so interesting? When somebody first showed me how to stand right, I was like, oh, of course, this is how you stand.
Exactly.
And it feels really good. I know that you had told me briefly a while ago that you didn't start that long ago, but I forgot. Because when we were first talking about it, you must have just started like 2 or 3 years ago at that point.
Yeah, just like very
recently.
You
were knee deep. Yeah, you were deep in it. And I was like, I wasn't really starting to do it. I had gotten a bow for Hanukkah from Paul, but I wasn't fitted for it. It was like a kid's training bow.
Right.
And me and my friend Glenn, we just wanted to like go fuck around and like have fun with it. And we did. We had the best time and I loved it. And we were like, we're going to go to the archery store and we're going to get fitted and this is going to be great. And we just never did because it is hard also to have that kind of hobby when you have kids.
Yes. Well, yeah, there's like a dimension to it that you have to put a little bit of time into.
Right.
And more than anything, I think it would be difficult or even annoying to kind of go to a range. Like, you legally can't shoot arrows in your backyard in most cities. It's like, God right. forbid you miss and someone's fucked.
Totally. But- oh, I couldn't do it at my house. Like, so we went to Arroyo in Pasadena.
That's
where exactly. they have a range there, but then they have little individual pockets.
Yep.
And so that's what Glenn and I did. And like, but the reason why I wanted to do it again was because when I was young, I did archery at camp. I went to sleepaway camp and I suck at sports. I'm not athletic. I love dancing and that's it. That's like my sport. And then I did archery and I was good at it. Amazing. Like you. I didn't hit a bullseye the first time, but I was like, oh my God, I felt so good about myself. Yes. And I loved it.
And it feels like there is a kind of weirdly feminine power about it.
Yeah.
I can't really put my finger on it, but it's about, you know, you're not
Xena.
Really, yeah, it's like a little Xena and a little bit like
Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman's got that bow and arrow.
It is all like, it really is like, it feels like comic book superhero territory in so many ways. Yeah. But yeah, I think that when it's something, it's not surprising to me that you picked it up and just felt and were just good at it and just felt at home with it, because I think that for very cerebral people, it's the perfect sport. It is the only
so
sport.
Cool. Right?
It is the only sport for me. And I definitely have a good setup here. So I have the first
yeah,
bow I
talk
shot.
To me.
Oh yeah. Well first I went to Montana, learned how to shoot. Then I came back home to LA and I did the same thing. I'm like, I need to do this all the time. So I went to Arroyo, Pasadena.
Oh, cool.
It was so great. And they have bows there. Like, you don't have to buy any gear to kind of get started if you don't want to, but they have recurve bows and long bows, and I learned how to shoot on a compound bow. And the difference is the way I usually explain the difference is that a compound bow is like Rambo, a recurve bow is like Legolas, and a long bow is like Hawkeye. So there's different shapes and weights and sizes, and a compound bow kind of uses like pulleys and levers to give you more power, like a more powerful shot.
Right. Okay. So the long bow would be probably the most physically exhausting.
Exactly. For me, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. And that's why I use compound.
It doesn't have any give.
It's all you. And that's kind of like I think that's when you see archery in the Olympics, they're usually using a recurve bow, which is kind of like a smaller version of a longbow. And I think it's for that reason. Like, they're gauging your physical power and your physical strength. Whereas the compound for me is more about aiming and targeting and, you know, kind
totally.
Of a different.
Yeah. So I learned how to do it with, a curve. What's it called?
Why am I blank? Yeah.
A recurve. So that was my first experience. And it was hard.
Yeah.
My arm muscles especially were always sore. It really was like about that kind of strength. And so, but learning that way, even then, and where I wasn't good at anything and I had no strength, I still liked it.
Yeah.
So the fact that then I tried a compound, I was like, oh, why is this easy?
Exactly.
Like,
and there is so much conversation amongst archery circles with like, compound bows are cheating. And I'm like, you cannot approach it that way. I think that whatever
of course not.
Gets people out there is fine. But yeah, a lot of people are like, well, compound's easy because it's cheating. And I'm like, it's not. I'm with you where like the it was more difficult physically. And then the bow snaps back at you so fiercely. And I had bruises like all up and down my arm. And, you know, it really was painful to kind of learn that way.
Yeah. And it also, I remember like I would get sort of like calluses, like wrist, fingers. I didn't have gloves back then.
Yep. No arm guards, no gloves.
Right.
You just
I didn't have
there.
Any of that. Yeah. You're just like a little kid with like these shitty bow and arrows that the camp has for everybody to use. And I'm like bruised, aching, blistering, all of that.
But you still
now,
loved it.
I still did. I still loved it. And so your setup.
So I use a Bowtech Specialist compound bow, and I like to use carbon arrows that are, Like usually like a, I have a draw, my draw weight's around like, that I prefer is like 25 pounds. And I'm so a target shooter.
Wait, so, okay, so 25 pounds is how heavy your bow is?
No, that's like kind of the draw strength. So when you pull it back, that's kind of the ferocity with which the arrow okay. will be deployed. And I'm like, I don't need it to be like 50 pounds or totally. More. I kind of and, like it in a more comfortable range. But yes. I shoot outside. So I have... on the side of my barn, I just stacked, I went to my local hardware / feed store and I bought a bunch of bales of hay. I just stacked them up outside of the barn and got some paper targets and kind of tacked them up there. And I use that most of the time because I can stand back far enough. I've got a few acres, so at that part of the yard, I can stand back far enough to kind of challenge myself. To hit the target.
What's like the hardest target you've ever hit? Like something small, I'm imagining, and something very far.
Yes. I went to, there is a range here where I got my bow, and it's in Pennsylvania. And I tried to hit, they have this wall, like this foam wall set up where you can practice when you're picking out your bow. And I tried to shoot a balloon from 25 yards and it was abysmal. I was like, this is
it
sad.
Sounds so hard. That sounds really hard. But you can do it.
I eventually got there, but I definitely, like, it took me some time to realize that so much of the act of shooting a bow and arrow is the prep. So it's a lot of breathing, it's a lot of, like you said, kind of recognizing your stance and it's all in the prep. And it's definitely aiming and kind of like, you know, giving yourself some space to be a little bit more like zoned out, I guess you could say, like a very, very zen approach. So the prep and then is most of it. And then by the time you pull, you know, and then let it loose, you've already done most of the work. So it's either going to hit it or not.
Right. Wow. So zen and the art of archery.
100%. There's
not a book for nothing.
Not a book for nothing. And I just, and I love it. So I go out in the, you know, shoot against the barn. And then sometimes I just go out to the back edge of my property and set up like foam blocks and, you know, try to shoot from different angles and from the side. And it's just, it's really cool. It's like a little playground out there for me, but it's.
Yeah. Do you ever like roll? Are you ever like, fuck this? Nobody's watching. Who cares? Like you do a little flip or you roll in the grass and you're like.
I've spun around and been like, I'm going to spin. And then I'm like, I shouldn't do that. I do have a neighbor.
Like, have you ever been, have you ever been like, I want to hit a bird? And no judgments. Birds are God's gift to everyone. But like, you know, kind of just like, I want to get that.
You know what's bizarre? I never have, because again, I don't hunt. I'm just target shooting.
Right.
But when I moved in, there was a family of groundhogs just breakdancing all over this place. And I hired this pest control guy, and I was like, maybe I get up there with my bow and arrow, and I kind of,
right?
And then I'm like, no, Danielle, that's not you at all. And he kind of recommended it. He's like, maybe I could sit out here and like shoot with it. And I'm like, no, don't hurt them.
Oh my God.
Rehome them. It's a country. You can take them somewhere else. And he was like, oh my God, you fucking hippie. And then one day I was out shooting like against the barn. And he's like, you have a bow and arrow and you won't let me kill a groundhog. And I'm like, yeah, absolutely not. But I the only time I've even come close is when one of those fuckers tried to get into my house. That's just like,
oh,
my
hell no.
My constant fight is like, all the animals around here think they should be able to live in the house.
Right.
So I heard him under my floorboards and I had to do all this work to like secure that. And I'm like, well, if he gets in, he's getting shot. But
I mean, I'm surprised you haven't had one in there yet, because like we have, like we've had stuff in this house.
Oh, my cat just killed a squirrel.
In your house?
In my indoor cat killed an outdoor squirrel inside my fucking house.
Was it in the attic?
Yeah. So I had pest control guys came. I'm like, I hear the squirrels in the attic, and they blocked up all the holes on the outside and they trapped the fucking thing in my house. So he had nowhere to go. He found a loose ceiling tile and dropped in, and my cat must have just pounced and killed it. And then he very calmly laid it on the bed next to me, and I woke up.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
And I'm like, cats bring you those little presents.
Oh, yeah. He thought he was doing a good thing. And I'm like, well, now I have to burn my house down. Like, this is not okay. My immediate response was like, well, I live outside now in a tent because I cannot live here anymore.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That is so crazy.
Yeah. It's insane here. So I definitely moved. I definitely want you selfishly to move to upstate New York, but it is a whole different fucking world here.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So let me ask you something. Your bow and arrow. What? This is a dumb question, but like, do you have a name for it?
You know, I don't, but only because
it's fine.
I kind of
you're normal.
and I can't decide on one. Like, my cat has the name that he came with from the pound,
which is
Carrot, because he's orange. And like, that fits. He seems to like it. Like, I'm not good at naming things. Even when I'm writing characters, I'm like, I don't know what their fucking name should be.
Right.
Like, I'm horrible.
Naming inanimate. I love naming things. I'm not to say I'm good at it, but I could sit and think about a name for like a week because I find it to be very fun. But naming inanimate objects for me is like I don't do that.
I know. I can't.
I don't care for it. I never named my car.
No, never. I'm like, it's
weird.
It's my fucking, it's a Chevette. It's just, it's just what
it is. It's a Honda. It's a car.
Like, but I wonder like how much of that too is just like not, I'm not closely associating with this inanimate object in a way that I want to name it because then it becomes more real or more of an extension of me somehow. I don't know. But I don't do that.
Where do you keep it? Like, do you keep one next to your bed? Like, what if
I don't, because I do have I have weapons, I have knives, like, okay, in pretty much every room of my house because I'm traumatized. I'm a traumatized person, so
oh my God, Danielle,
I have knives, but I keep my bow in I have a library. I turn one of the bedrooms into a library.
All right.
And I keep it in there because it's on the way out of
okay.
the house.
Okay.
So it's on that side of the house.
It's so chic that you have a library. So, like, wouldn't it be so, like, what if you needed your bow? You were in a situation. I don't want to scare you as you live alone in your manor in upstate New York where no one can hear you. I'm not trying to scare you at all. But what if? Let's talk about getting one to keep in your room.
Here's the thing. I don't think it would be useful in an attack. Because the precision that you would have to have would be kind of impossible. For me, would be impossible in a moment of heightened fear. Whereas with a knife, you could just start swinging wildly and you'll hit something.
Totally.
But with an arrow, I'm like, ooh.
You'd be like, okay, I have to get my stance together. And
exactly. Wait, where's my arm guard? Kill me.
But like, it would be so fucking cool.
It would be kind of great.
You hit targets. I love the idea of you rolling around your farm.
Yeah. It's a
getting better.
Yeah.
Have you ever been in any like competitions? Are there competitions?
There definitely are competitions. And I haven't been in any because it's, and I wonder if you feel like this too, but I've already done this with one hobby where I turn my hobby of writing into a career or something that I felt like I had to do outside of my home. And it took all the fun away from it. For me,
I feel the exact same way. I mean, I'm taking a writing workshop now just to have fun with it.
Yeah,
because I was like, "Why?" I hate doing this thing that was my everything.
Oh yeah,
but yes, I fully agree.
And that's the thing. Like, if I was in a competitive space, I think it would take some of the shine away from it for me. Where I would feel bad about, you know, what I'm doing. Whereas now I'm just having fun improving and learning at my own pace and not having the pressure of, well, you have to get better faster so you can win this thing. But there are tons.
Right.
If I was ever ready, I think maybe in retirement, I'll start doing some competitions. For now, I just love being able to truly go out and you can do it at any point in time, like middle of the day, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, and just like meditate and relax.
Yeah. So it's kind of cool. Like it is like your meditation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like I definitely, again, like I like having my feet in the grass. Like I like kind of being in touch with the earth, but also being in touch with my body. And that's a very good way to do it for me. Like kick off your shoes and go and shoot your fucking bow at a target. Do you want to know how insane I am at this point for archery?
Always. Always.
I'm renovating the house right now, but then I'm going to be renovating the barn. And the barn is original. And I'm turning the hayloft upstairs, which is just, you know, tall ceilings and open space, into an indoor archery range for myself.
That's so fucking rad.
Like, there'll be a couple of bedrooms downstairs, but upstairs is for me.
So cool. That's so, so cool. I was going to ask you what the archery scene was like where you live, but there isn't one.
There isn't. You know what the archery scene is here? It's me and like 12-year-olds who learn at camp. Like my like my friend's kid is like, I'm learning how to be an archer too. And I'm like, cool, come over and shoot.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the scene.
Would you ever like want to teach kids how to do archery or no?
I would love to. Because if somebody
had
taught me.
I bet you would be so good at it. You'd be like such a warm, like, I would love for you to have taught me archery.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you had the experience of learning at camp and knowing that you liked it, because I think about this about a lot of my childhood. But like, if I had been introduced to that as a kid, who knows where the fuck I could be president of the goddamn United States right now. Like, if I
wouldn't doubt it
in my life.
Who knows?
But yeah, I think it's important and cool to like teach kids that there are different ways to be meditative and mindful, and that's the one I would go to if I had to teach a kid anything.
What is your favorite gear?
I love my bow. And I'm actually looking to get a long bow. I'm looking at a bear paw Blackfoot. It's like a 66-inch long bow.
That sounds so intimidating. But like, why not? You're going to have an indoor archery range. Like, you may as well. That sounds so cool.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And then I kind of like my, I just took some PVC pipe and a piece of wood and built my own arrow stand. And I kind of love just like grabbing it and running outside and being like, plonk, like plonk my arrows in. And then, you know, I can't do like the behind the back grab.
I was going to ask, like, do you have a little back thing?
No.
Well, it does it's hard to actually get them. It's easier when they're in a stand right next to you.
Completely. Yeah. Like behind the back. I leave that for the younger kids.
Archery is a really solitary sport. That's what it's known for. Is that what's appealing to you? Or do you like doing it with friends? Or do you prefer to do it alone?
I prefer to do it alone. Like my goddaughter, who's 8, came over a couple of weeks ago, and she'll see the target sometimes and be curious about it. And I think one day I might teach her how to do it and kind of give her the space here to do that. But it's mostly solitary. Like, I don't want to compete. I don't want to be on a team. I think it's something that there's no urgency to it. So I think that that's why to me, it feels like a very solitary thing. And I know people compete on teams and have, you know, they share a lot of tricks and the whole ethos about it. And I think there's power in that too. But for me, no, I want to get up there and just kind of have some comfort on my own. And I think I've always been someone who's comfortable. Like, I never had to learn how to be alone. I think a lot of people, especially recently, had to learn how to be alone. And it's just been kind of part of the human condition that I live with for the most part. So I like to enhance it in ways that feel good instead of thinking about it as a lonely endeavor. I like to go out and do fun things on my own.
So you know that we call this podcast Filling the Void, like as if we have an empty void in our souls or ourselves that we need to fill, which I don't necessarily think. Well, no, we do. What does it mean to you, though? Like, what does that term expression mean to you, if anything?
Like, my gut instinct is usually that it allays panic and connects you to something calm. So anything that helps you just feel at home in yourself, you're filling the void. And you're definitely, you know, you can do that with people sometimes, but I think it's usually a solitary process. Like, it requires a lot of solitude. So yeah, I kind of think of filling the void as like going back to the well. You're going back to the well to find the next thing or the only thing or the first thing that really made you feel like you were doing something at the best version of connectivity with yourself.
Totally. I love that. That's perfect. It's the thing that, yeah, that I found that I was, it's like the puzzle piece, you know, exactly. With archery, with writing. Oh, this fits.
It just fits. This fits. And it's something that you just do regardless of whether anyone's watching or not. Totally. Or you're ever going to show anybody. Like, it's just something that's purely for you.
Because you can't not do it.
Completely. The other thing I want to talk to you about, too, is because I have so many other hobbies, and a lot of them are, again, solitary indoor things. But a lot of my hobbies lately, I find, outside of archery, are things that I do for friends. So I used to knit myself a bunch of shit, but now I just kind of like I have a friend who really likes owls, so I'm knitting her an owl sweater. And, you know, I have a friend who went through breast cancer treatment, and I put together a, and she's fine now, but I put together a care package for her, and it had like all these creams, and I'm like, put this cream on your tits. And then I made her like a Bargello box, a tissue box.
What's Bargello?
Like, oh, I'm going to send you a kit. You're going to fucking love it. It's like a 70s craft that looks, it just looks insane. Like, I made her a tissue box, and I'm like, we're all crying all the time because we're sad for you. So like, have some tissues. But that's the kind of thing that I'm doing with crafts now, where I'm just kind of, I just give them, I've always given stuff away, but now I feel like when I do make things that are more fiber oriented or more like miniature stuff, I'm sending them out to people.
You might like punch needle.
I did it once. When I think was in third grade, like my teacher taught me how to do it. No one in my family ever wanted to buy me any of the stuff. They're like, we're not buying you any of this shit. Like the latch hook and like, we weren't doing any of that.
So I don't blame them. The punch, it's not super expensive, any of the punch needle stuff, but the loophole is that you can find old kits on Etsy or eBay.
Ooh.
That's how I started doing needlepoint. Like, I went to a needlepoint store in New York and they had patterns and they were really expensive and I wasn't good, right? Uh-uh. I taught myself how to do it. They're like this old 70s, craft kits. Like, you're making like, you know, there's Peanuts ones for like little kids, but then there's also like Vogue covers or like boobs, like, I mean, there are textile artists who do, you know, amazing like X-rated needle points.
I love that so much. And especially like that, just getting a glimpse into the sense of humor of the 70s is always really fun.
Totally. But I agree. Now. Sex and comedy were like really at their peak in the 70s. Like,
oh yeah. Like the whole world was like nothing, a Porky's movie.
Totally. It was like laughing and painting your boobs. I'm like, you know, it was an odd combination, but even like Playboy, it was like lots of jokes and like honking your boobs or something. Like, I don't know. Just that doesn't make me horny, but I guess it made.
It was a kink for someone.
So, but what I'll propose for me and you moving forward, Danielle, is that like, we can do a hobbies like weekly or monthly check-in.
I would love that.
Where we
that.
Show each other our work. We talk about our process. We just gossip and giggle. Like,
yes, let's do it. And I'm doing that with a friend. We have a 2-person book club where we're just reading books from our own shelves. And
that's
we just
fun.
Check in once a month. And it's just, I love it. And I would absolutely adore that. So we'll do that.
This is important because like when you go out to Archer, what's your outfit? And does it matter to you?
It kind of does matter to me because it can't be too loose. Mm-hmm. It also can't be too tight. Depending on the time of year, I have to be warm. I'm not going to be out there with frigid arms trying to, you know,
shoot. Course.
So I
like a bundled up archery look.
Yeah, I love like a fleece jacket with a weird hat kind of archery look.
Okay. Because
you got to keep the sun out of your eyes.
Yes.
And I don't like to have a lot of the glasses and the gear and stuff.
Yeah.
So I go out usually and it's like, I don't mind jeans or like a pair of like a lined legging.
Okay. So do you have like a character, like an archery character who you turn into? You know, like I would get very into like that kind of like, who, do I want to be this like Swedish girl who was like raised by wolves? Or do I want to be Xena? Or do I want to be a guy that like has to kill his own food to survive?
Yeah, a lot of the time to get into that mentality, it's and again, because of my own personal trauma, it's like you were left alone in the woods and had to fend for yourself. Okay. Like, could you survive in that kind of scenario? Very survivalist.
I love that character. And you could survive. You will survive.
I could absolutely survive. We could live on Groundhog for at least a day.
And squirrels.
But yeah, I definitely, it helps calm me down and it really hits the anxiety center of my brain to feel like I'm capable, like a capable person in the world. So yeah, I kind of just always want to make sure that I can do things on my own. And that's how I go out into the world. Like I just want to make sure that I can survive. I can survive anything. I can be generous to people. I don't like a lot of people, but I love a lot of people. And the people that I love, like I love you, and the people that I love you totally.
And
I just want to care for.
We could take care. I think that's so wise, and I agree, and I love it. It makes me feel really good.
Oh, me too.
Is there a hobby that you don't do? You probably won't ever do, but you wish you were the kind of person you want to.
I know. I wish I was the kind of person who could do yoga and not just immediately fall into child's pose for the whole class.
Yeah.
Because once I stretch a little bit, like I'm out. Ugh. And I wish I could like do a handstand and fucking like,
right?
Like I wish I could be that person, but I do not have it within me to want to practice that much. And that's kind of
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
I've never met a yoga class I didn't resent like immediately or during it. I feel the same way. Yeah, that's a good one. That's great.
I
wish
I could, but I just can't, and I take it, and I just lay down on the floor a lot, and that's also very important to my body and stretching my fucking muscles and bones.
I agree. Child's pose feels right.
Feels
the other
good to
ones
me.
Don't.
I have a friend who also, she's like, oh, if you're ever doing corpse pose, and you want like a good release, you should like hold your knees to your chest, and you'll probably fart. And I'm like, oh, really? Because I'm a teenage boy at heart. Like, that is hilarious to me. So whenever I do it, I'm like, this is hilarious. And then I laugh, and that's the release.
That's great. Yeah. So I do that sometimes when I feel like I really need to fart and I can't.
It's like you do that for babies. And I
yes,
didn't know
exactly.
I had no idea. But
no,
she's
you
like,
put their knees up.
Yeah. Aww. She's like, you could do it as an adult, too. And I was like, this is the best thing I've ever been taught.
There's
ever.
Nothing funnier. And there's nothing funnier. And like, please make sure you're doing it in public, everybody.
Oh, get
you
go
ain't
to a park.
Farting in pubs. You're not doing it right. This is what you're missing out on by not being in a writer's room, okay?
Exactly.
When I'm in there, it's pull my finger at least once a week.
That makes me want to go back. That makes me want to go to LA for a few
the
months.
Jokes. The camaraderie and the jokes and the snacks and the farts.
The snacks and the farts. That should be the title of your next memoir.
Danielle, I love you also. I love this conversation. We're going to revisit this.
Anytime. We can revisit it with video. We can revisit it in person. Come hang out for a week.
I wish. I mean, I will.
Bring your kid. Bring your husband. Bring everybody. Just come hang out.
Be so warm.
Yeah.
If you liked our show, please subscribe, rate, review, and tell a friend. Filling the Void is a production of the Irios Network. Episodes are produced, engineered, and edited by Alex Paul. Original song by Michael Cassidy.
Irios.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.